Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It's so good, as always, to be joined by you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for being here for today's broadcast. And we want to share the love and the thanks with all of you for tuning in each week and for supporting CIUT during the course of the fall fundraising drive. Thank you for your listenership. Thank you for being a part of our global community. We appreciate you greatly. To learn more about the fundraising drive and to share your continued support, we invite you to visit CIUT.fm and, of course, turnoutradio.com. Well, coming up on today's show, the Canadian Artists Network has been a voice for Canada's elder professional artists, offering programs and services that enable artists to remain relevant, connected, informed, and motivated. On today's broadcast, we'll be sharing my recent discussion with Executive Director Scott Walker, who joined me to discuss the organization and also the advocating and celebration of older artists. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Scott Walker. You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. Canadian Artists Network, or CAN, engages seasoned professional artists in Canada in their desire to continue their life's work as creators in the visual and performing arts, written word, and on production teams. As the voice of Canada's experienced artists, they offer a supportive, inclusive, and like-minded community, as well as programs and services that serve artists of varied disciplines in their desire to remain relevant, connected, informed, and inspired. Joining me now is Scott Walker, who is the Executive Director of Canadian Artists Network. Scott has enjoyed a vast career as an arts administrator, producer, actor, singer, and broadcaster. He was one of the founding producers of Toronto's Reprise Concerts and coordinator of Pro Art Victoria. I'm so pleased to welcome him to Turnout Radio. Welcome to the show, Scott. So great to be here with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much, Nicole. Great pleasure to be here today.
Oh, well, I am looking so forward to this conversation, and thank you for joining me today.
Always happy to talk about my organization. I say my organization, but it's really a joint effort.
Well, that's fabulous, and that's what I feel whenever I read through the wonderful pages on the website for CAN. It does indeed feel like a community. So I appreciate what you've just shared. And so before we do talk about CAN and get into the offerings of CAN, how is Scott Walker doing? It's been a little while since I've had an opportunity to sit down with you. How's Scott doing?
Scott's doing just fine. He's a little sad that the cooler weather is here, but aside from that, we're doing just fine.
Well, great. Well, I hear you on that. I'm a warm weather person myself.
Yeah.
But yet,
what the heck are we doing in this country?
I know. I hear you on that. That it will be for part two of our interview, right? The next time we meet, right? What are
Fair
we doing? Well, I'm so glad that you are here, and I'm looking forward as well to talk to you about Canadian Artists Network, which is known to be dedicated to supporting, celebrating, and inspiring senior artistic voices through its advocacy work and programs. So, Scott, tell us more about CAN and how the organization is indeed serving community, please.
Happy to. Well, we've been around officially since 2011. So although we serve older artists, we're actually just in our early teen years ourselves as an organization. We have really been active with our programs and services since 2014. Our first program was our mentoring program, which is now in its 10th year. And we are about to pass $400,000 in honoraria to older artists and expenses that we pay for our mentees. So we're very, very pleased with that and very grateful to all the great donors who have and organizations who have funded us in that program. So mentoring is kind of our flagship program, but it's only one of the programs and services we offer. We also have an annual conference. We have webinars that we offer on a variety of topics. We have an online networking session that we call Online Salons or On Salons. And we meet every few weeks just to chat about stuff. We had a meeting recently where we talked about how to engage younger people in the arts and get them excited about the arts and away from their phones and into live performance venues. We also talked about what it's like to be aging and ageism, which is a constant threat to those of us who are still working and still creating, because older people are not valued as much as they should be. So that's one of our advocacy platforms, is to fight ageism and raise the issue of ageism wherever possible.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about that, because one of the things that I know that you and I had spoken about the last time we had sat down was a quote that I had brought up from your website. Patrick Young, actor, director, and educator, had said that there's admirable, fresh insight coming in all the time, but the perspective you have after a 50-year career can't be imitated. And I really appreciated that share, because I think it speaks to so many different elements regarding how we should value the very real, the reality of growing older and the power that comes with that. And you had also shared with me prior to our interview today that artists don't retire. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on not only those shares, but to ask you if you can expand upon this very real matter of ageism and how CAN is supporting conversations around that.
Happy to do that. Where should I start? Well, I mean, Patrick's quote is very important, which is why it's on our website. Patrick is an old friend. He and I worked together about 46 years ago on stage, and we've kept in touch ever since. And he has trained generations of emerging artists through his work with the University of Toronto and Sheridan College. And so he knows what he's talking about, because he's been on both sides of the trenches. The thing about us, as you mentioned, and I say us because I'm a senior artist as well, is that we don't, in fact, retire. I mean, it's not in our DNA. The creative gene doesn't shut off at 65 or 75 or 85. We have people in their 90s who are still creating and would create more if they had the opportunity. The only thing keeping them from working more is ageism, which gets us to that topic, too. I mean, we're in a youth-obsessed culture. You turn on the TV, you turn on or go to a movie, and you don't see a lot of old people. And if you do, they're infirm, they're decrepit, they're suffering Alzheimer's, which is an issue, of course. But it's still for a small minority of people, but it's the way we're portrayed. I mean, you look at Harrison Ford in the recent Indiana Jones movie, and he's 80 years old, and he's buff, and he's fit, and he was running, and he was doing stunts. Now, I think he's an exception to the rule physically, but it's been, you know, important to him to keep in shape. I couldn't do anything like that. But up here and in here, in my mind and in my heart, I am still as creative as I ever have been. And in fact, I wish I could go back and do the things I was doing when I was in my 20s, because I've got so much accumulated knowledge and wisdom and skill that I wish I could put into those performances that I did when I was younger. We're all doing our best work right now. Or, I mean, some of our community members say their best is yet to come. We're still at our peak. Thank you.
I really appreciate that, Cher. You know, it does make me reflect, Scott, on when I was much younger, I often found that the idea and the reality of growing older, any conversation around that was often instilled with fear. Mm-hmm. It was intersected with that. That is how it was taught to us. Growing older was a scary thing. And I feel that a lot of those early teachings that many of us have end up impacting how it is that we view the reality of getting older. It's one of the things I think that impacts our view and skews that view. And so in your opinion, what are some of the conversations and the dialogues that need to be had to turn that reality around so that individuals really and truly can see that there is beauty, there is power in growing older? I'm curious to know your thoughts. What are some of the dialogues and even some of the misconceptions that need to be shifted when we think about growing older?
Well, the first thing to point out is that this thing about siloing and relegating older people to the sidelines is a particularly North American phenomenon. In Europe, in Asia, elders are revered. They are held to a high standard and they are looked up to and sought out for their wisdom and their knowledge and their expertise. It's only here in North America that we seem to be shunted aside. I was talking to a publicist today who is working on behalf of an artist, a visual artist, who is, I think she's 82 years old. And this publicist has been trying very hard to get her client recognized for her work in North America. And she hasn't, you know, she's bumping up against brick walls all the time, but she reaches out across to Europe and there are people going, oh, love to hear that story. Tell us all about her. So this is really a North American thing that we have to address. A lot of it is the media. And a lot of it is advertising. I mean, there's no simple answer to what the conundrum is, but a lot of it is advertising. Companies that buy advertising on television are after what they think is the youth market, because the youth market is a market that hasn't formed its opinion and isn't stuck in its ways. And therefore, they're the ones that they can reach out to, which is why you see on sports, beer companies, car companies, that sort of thing. And there's been this impression that older people say once they buy, I don't know, a Ford, will keep buying that Ford and that's my car and I'm never going to change it. Whereas the reality is completely different. I've bought cars from all kinds of different companies over my lifetime. I'm not stuck in any way. I'll buy what I think is going to be the best car for me at any given moment. So we have to find a way to explain that conundrum, explain that situation. And I even know when I was broadcasting in Toronto in the 80s, I was a DJ. And I worked for a station that no longer exists, but our audience was older. And we had a heck of a time getting advertising agencies to consider us for their ad buys because, oh, they're old people. They won't buy anything. Well, guess who's got the disposable income? Not necessarily older artists, but older people have a lot of disposable income and would spend it if they were convinced to. That's a big problem.
And I also think about the fact that older people are a library and a museum of information and history. I am so appreciative of the time that I had with my grandparents, with certain elders in my life, and that I was taught the value, the power, and the beauty of growing older from them. and to sit and listen to the wealth of wisdom and knowledge that they had to share truly informed the human being that I am today.
To say nothing of the stories, sorry to interrupt, but you know, my grandmother had incredible stories to tell. Some of them were just about her life growing up, but some of them were about her observations on life as it was when we were talking.
Yes.
She lived to be 101, so she had a lot of stories to tell.
Yes, right. Wonderful. Yes, indeed. Stories, the stories that they hold within their bodies, I think is so, it's so valuable. And that, I think, is one of the pieces that is sometimes missed or was sometimes missed when I was a young child, right? Because as I said, oftentimes the idea of growing older, was submitted to us as something that you just didn't want to happen. And so our society, our economy has produced so many different things, including products, cosmetics, et cetera, that try to reverse and prevent that aging process from happening. And henceforth ends up valuing the younger audience, the younger body, more than it does value the older body.
So true. Absolutely yes. True.
For over 30 years, this station has been an oasis of creativity on the FM dial and is a unique and standalone operation whose roots tie in with the concept and the philosophy behind free and open format radio programming. We invite you to support the continued work of CIUT and Turnout Radio by donating at CIUT.FM. Thank you for being on this journey with us as we share and engage in the conversations and stories that live both on and beyond the stage. Let's continue this groove together. Thank you. Scott, for folks who are interested in learning more about CAN, how does one get involved in terms of whether it's becoming a member, or how does one get involved and access services?
The best place to go is our website. Now, we changed our name to Canadian Artists Network this year. We used to be known as the Canadian Senior Artists Resource Network, which could explain why we changed our names. That was a big mouthful. But we called ourselves, we went by the acronym, which at the time was CSARN, C-S-A-R-N. And there you can find out all about the services we offer. And you can also join us as a member of our artistic community if you were an older artist. And by older, you know, you can be a senior artist at 40 if you started in your teens or in your early 20s. As a senior dance artist would obviously be in their 40s, not in necessarily in their 60s. And you can join. It's absolutely free. We just want to know who you are, where you are, and what kind of art you create.
And what are some of the services, Scott, that individuals can benefit from?
There is our annual conference. There's the mentoring program. There are webinars that we offer on a variety of topics, including, well, we just did a series on preparing your artistic legacy. Not a fun topic for anybody, but eventually we are going to no longer be here, and our heirs are going to have to deal with the accumulated physical aspect of what we have created over our lifetime. It's more for visual artists, but everybody who is a professional creative artist has accumulated some sort of possessions and creative output. So what to do with that? What to do with the taxes? What to do with the copyright issues, what to do with wills and that sort of thing. We have gone through that series, and we're just about to conclude it. We also have talked about social media for beginners right through to experts. We do webinars on personal health, and those are all on our website, all the videos from those webinars. We have the online networking group, the On Salons that I mentioned. And we also have a healthcare assist and connect program, which helps older artists navigate the sometimes, well, always confusing minefield that is the Canadian healthcare system. It's not an insurance program. It's not a doctor. It's help getting information and getting services that you may be frustrated about at the moment. And I think we've all been there. And all of our programs are free.
Excellent. And are there any specific prerequisites? Scott, I heard as you were sharing that you want to know who the individuals are, and it is this welcoming environment for folks to become a member. Are there any prerequisites that need to happen before an individual joins as a member?
The only, and we don't police this by any means, but the only thing is that we have been created for professional artists. So somebody who just paints recreationally, good on you if you do that. But that's not what we've been designed for. So I'm not sure that we'd be able to help that much if that's the case.
Okay, thank you, Scott. What a wonderful, wonderful organization. When I think about how it is serving folks and communities, I think it's, again, quite special to know that it exists. Scott, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show today, for our conversation, and for the time that you have given not only to this dialogue today, but also the time that you have been giving to community these past many years, what you have contributed. So grateful for that, Scott.
Thank you, Nicole. It has been my pleasure, and thanks for inviting me to speak about it today.
My great pleasure. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Harborfront Center's 2023-24 season of Torque is on now, and we want to thank them for the warm welcome of Turnout Radio and the wonderful invitation to moderate at their post-show conversations. This season, Torque presents works embodying the tensions and power of relationships, the ones with each other, history, and territory. And each performance seeks to broaden how we view the world and ultimately our place in it. The dance pieces will provoke us into reinterpreting what we think, feel, and see on stage. In its fifth season, Torque presents the return of some of the country's most iconic contemporary dance performers and international award-winning choreographers, offering profoundly original works, all premiering in Toronto for the first time. Global artists from Germany, Spain, Norway, France, Morocco, the UK, Brazil, China, Quebec, and Toronto will explore the connections to their roots, traditions, and defining life experiences, encouraging audiences to reflect on their own paths of change and growth. To learn more about Torque, we invite you to visit harborfrontcenter.com. We look forward to seeing you there this season. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. Well, that is it for today's broadcast. I want to take a moment to thank Scott Walker for joining me on the show. Such a pleasure to sit down and share space with Scott. And we want to invite you, please visit the Canadian Artists Network to learn more about their story and the work that they are doing for the community. You can visit them online via their new website address at canartnet.ca. Many thanks again to Scott for joining me on the show. And we want to thank you for tuning in today, folks. If you missed the top of the interview, be sure to visit us at turnoutradio.com, where you can catch it again, and also where you can learn more about our past interviews, archives, and of course, resources. Technical production of today's broadcast was facilitated by the absolutely fabulous Amber Downeyback. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.